I'm Jerwin Gabriel Santiago.
And I'm Elizabeth Wayne.
And we've never been wrong, ever.
This week, Lady Bird and Dee Dee.
Will they make it to heaven or hell?
We'll decide. Welcome to
Rapture.
Okay, it is insane the way that cats are liquid.
What do you mean?
Like, he just slithered through there like a snake.
Hi.
He's literally like, why are you guys in a closet?
He's like, okay, we can sit in here.
He's being an ally. He's like, guys, you don't have to stay in the closet. We have to let it be known that right now we're recording this inside of a closet.
We value sound quality.
And I love to recreate what it was like to, you know, whatever it was being in the closet. So, hi guys.
Hey.
We watched these two movies for our very first little Rapture movie club. We'll be doing double features on here. The very first two we picked were Lady Bird and Dee Dee.
And why did we pick them?
Well, it's crazy because these movies were literally about us.
We watched them and we thought,
Is this play about us? Okay. Bitch, you better be Joey King. Gunshot, gunshot, gunshot. Oh my god, I'm thinking about Joey King's Clambot. Okay, so well, we watched these two movies and we just thought, whoa, these were a specific mirror into a very specific time of our growing up, a coming of age, and it was nice to have some distance from that.
So these movies both take place during two teenagers' high school experience, Dee Dee, the weird time between eighth grade and freshman year.
That liminal ass space, yeah. It's like between Christmas and New Year's where you're like, none of what I do matters, but it's actually the most formative thing of all time.
Those years are like December 28th.
It's like that doesn't exist as an actual thing.
Yeah.
So Dee Dee takes place over the summer before he enters high school. And Lady Bird takes place over the course of her senior year of high school.
Also a bit liminal.
I mean, some of the most iconic memories.
Yeah.
Me not having a single one. I was like a loser, low-key. Because I was doing like high school theater.
Yeah, well, but the theater community is so, like, you can be king in the theater community, but, like, no one else knows.
I certainly wasn't. I didn't have an amazing singing voice at the time. I was actually, like, recording videos of me playing the ukulele, like, Mumford & Sons covers.
With your toms.
Hold me fast. With my toms. Oh, my gosh. The sense memory of toms.
So, what were your favorite scenes from Dee Dee?
So Dee Dee is a really, really scary sort of like mirror into how I acted around that time too. And it made me reflect on a lot of like ways I projected onto my mom. There's specifically a scene where Dee Dee's mom is a painter and that's her passion. And she's a stay-at-home mom. And she brings in a painting of their family at the beach. And instead of commenting on kind of her artistic merit or, like, abilities of painting, all Dee Dee can see in the painting is himself and how he does not like how he looks in it. So it really made me think of the ways that I kind of flattened my mom and the ways I wasn't able to treat her like a full person because I was so wrapped up in my own insecurities. And I guess this kind of continues in later. They have these really integral conversations in cars. So basically Dee Dee and his mom get into this argument in the car and the mom farts and Dee Dee is so disgusted and she keeps laughing, being like, yeah, I farted. And then she starts like sucking in the fart with her nose and she's like, actually being a freak. And then Dee Dee's like, why are you sniffing your own fart? And then it turns into this beautiful poem about her being like, oh, like, I can take on this pain for you. Like, as a mother, like, you don't need to be smelling this fart. Like, I will sniff the fart away from you. And the window in the car is broken, so it's not like they can, like, ventilate it. They have this old broken down car, and it was just so interesting to watch the comedy of the scene be around a fart, but the poeticism being like, oh yeah, a mother will do everything that she can to like relieve you of the fart of life. And then the last conversation that they have in the movie, they sit down after Dee Dee has run away, and the mom basically is like, I could have done anything with my life. I think about the times where I could have just been an artist, but then I look at you guys, my kids, and then I just find that this is way more worth it. And
but she still has some regret about not regret, but a what if thing, which I think him being 13, he's never thought about
regret
his mom having even a life outside of being his mom, you know, and it's such a interesting age where you are first starting to think 360 about the people around you and like deeper and, you know, just, I mean, that's...
Because it goes back to this narcissistic quality that he has where he's so insecure about himself. He's like, finding all these hobbies and ways to, like, change himself. But then he rarely sees people as people. He sees them as, like, vehicles for something else. Like, the kids who skate around him could be kind of a potential opportunity to climb a social ladder or just, like, be in with an artsier crowd. But then you watch him, like, lie. You watch him, like, change and flatten himself. And I guess... seeing this as a viewer, being like, okay, this kid has my same exact fucking haircut. This kid literally is getting his braces off. And I just, like, wanted to call my mom and say sorry. Like, I was such a fucking shithead to her. And these movies are really cool in that they can kind of open that door to reflecting about yourself. Not just that it was like, oh, I'm finally being represented. It's like the accuracy of these details was something... that I hadn't really felt by a movie before.
Well, the writing in Dee Dee is so good. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that kind of poeticism of the fart scene being about a fart is, like, such a good tool to center, like, it's such a 13-year-old boy kind of, like, thing as an entry point into something deeper.
Yeah, you know? And it, like, it keeps it light, but also doesn't shy away from, like, the real implications of, like, oh, I'm your mom, and I will smell the fart for you. Or, like, yeah, I messed up, I farted in this broke-ass car, and now it stink like shit, but now we're gonna go to McDonald's after, because, like, I love you.
Yeah, and we were just in a fight, and he's, because the fight, it's like, he's kind of rebelling against what his mom has set up for him to be successful in life, in, like, the ACT, what, it was, like, an ACT...
Prep class,
and, like, he's doing that thing that 13-year-olds do, where they're, like, fuck you, I don't want to do this, but if you look at it from her perspective, she's, like, I'm setting you up for success later, and you don't see that now, and he's, like... all he sees is he has to go to this ACT class with, like, this annoying kid that's, like, punches him in the face.
Well, he calls him a faggot. Yeah. And then he's like, I'm the bad guy for punching the bully in the face. That sucks. Yeah, it's so fucking cool to watch a fight between, like, that age of yourself and kind of, like, have the out-of-body experience of being like, whoa. I never really had a fight like that with my mom, but... it opens up a way to reflect on that time in my life where I was the same qualities, like, narcissistic and, like, only giving a fuck about myself and never really acknowledging that she was trying to set me up for success, even though my goals were pretty short-sighted.
Right, because when you're 13, you're not thinking ahead of tomorrow.
You're literally like, what am I going to post on Facebook tomorrow? And that was a huge problem for me. I'm like, this will... I somehow thought that I would get cast on SNL by writing the funniest Facebook status.
And maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe it was like the TikTok of 2011.
Yeah. You know? I'm just... I'm having like full body chills thinking about my haircuts. And he... you know, he actually had a perfect haircut to me. Just the immigrant bowl cut. That is the tried and true way to have your hair be.
What was your haircut at this time?
It was basically a newsboy cap made of hair at all times. I was actually, like, putting it underneath fitted caps of, like, sports teams that I thought were cool, which I don't know where I got this from, but I was like, the Toronto Blue Jays are where it's at.
And so I love hockey!
baseball. Oh. I think. I actually, like, don't even know to this very day, but I was, like, down to be Canadian or something, wanted to be so Canadian. Where did I get this? Like, where did I assume that Canada was fierce? Drake?
Maybe. Honestly, maybe.
He made it seem cool. The Six sounds fierce.
Because it was around that time.
Yes. I mean, that was, like, Marvin's room.
Yeah.
But, like, even the music that they play in there, it's, like, Hello Goodbye was what I was listening to as well.
Because this was set in 2009, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it happens, like, right around the recession.
Mm-hmm. Recession core.
That is so fierce. My brother also went to college, the same thing as his sister. And I was like, literally, there is a wire in my room, and somebody is writing about my life right now. This is, like, if he was gay, I would have, like, actually been like, I have no prospects now, because someone wrote my story already.
Is this play about us?
I'd be so angry if it was that Black Mirror episode where it's like, this is just, like, my day.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of was.
It
was
actually
it was just stuff. Hey, I'm a hoe. I'm on a roll. I'm so full of ambition and verve.
Did she say that?
Yeah, what the hell?
Wait.
DJ, play that track. I'm so on ambition and verve.
Oh.
I'm gonna get what I deserve.
Oh.
Basically, that's a Nine Inch Nails cover, by the way.
Ashley O?
Ashley O on a roll is by... This has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
I'm like watching my friend find out that Miley Cyrus in a wig didn't write that song.
I think Lady Bird, it's just such a good movie. The writing is so clean and succinct. Like, I think every scene means something. Obviously, that's like why scenes are in movies, but Greta Gerwig...
101 to writing. Everything you write down should be in the movie.
But people do not follow that.
I know. When there's just like a music video in the middle of a movie, I'm like, you need to edit. I'm like, oh, stop. Amelia Perez is going to win at the Oscars.
Yeah, we're recording this the day of the Oscars.
So at time of recording, we are living in a pre-Amelia Perez winning world.
They're not going to win.
You say that now. I'm about to beat the shit out of you. Do not come for my girl, Amelia.
So, Lady Bird. I saw this movie in the theater with my mom my freshman year of college. So, like, immediately after this time in her life, like, I had just lived, you know? I think everyone should have seen this movie in the theater with their mom. Because it really, it impacted you immediately. And the scene where they're shopping for prom dresses and they're, like, kind of bickering and, like, poking at each other. And then they pull out the dress and they're like, oh, my God, I love it. Like, when I saw that for the first time, I went, oh, my God. Because my mom and I had probably done that on the way over there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such... a teenage mother and daughter relationship that I had never seen on screen before. Because a lot of mother-daughter things prior to this, it was either, like, overly emotional, sappy. You know, the mom was, like, abusive or crazy. The kid was crazy. You know, it wasn't so realistic like this. Mm-hmm. And seeing that for the first time, I was like, holy shit, you know? And also the scene where Lady Bird goes to Lucas Hedges, what's his character's name? Danny.
I'm like, I don't know, I'm thinking about Lucas Hedges. I'm like, I have a crush on him. Lucas Hedges, if you're out there.
Hey.
224.
the scene where she goes to Danny's house for Thanksgiving, and then, like, obviously it's such a different family, class, and just experience than anything she's, like, ever been used to. And when she comes back and her mom's like, oh, we missed you at dinner, Lady Bird. But she's, like, she's with her friends because that's when they, like, smoke weed and they're, like, laughing that's awesome. In the kitchen. And she's, like, she's smiling because she sees her daughter in the context of the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how she is with, like, her friends, which I imagine as a parent is, like, a cool thing to see. And, but you can see the sadness in her that she's A, losing, not losing her daughter, but, like, her daughter's pulling away a little bit, as 18-year-olds do. And just the one line of, like, we missed you at dinner is so heartbreaking.
I think, to your point about how good the writing is that you can find all of that emotion in, like, Laurie Metcalf's face and then her just saying that, because she is losing her daughter, because when you bring something into the world like that, they start becoming a full person. And to be witnessing that, and Lady Bird tracks that really well. Like, her mom watches her become so many different iterations of herself and has to let go of her to be able to, like, come back home.
Yes, yeah. And I think, I mean, that's the movie starts when she's in that, like, rebellious phase, and her mom, not even rebellious, it's just trying to find out who you are. And her mom kind of dealing with that in the way she knows how, because my other favorite scene is when Lady Bird is like, weren't you allowed when you were growing up to just, like, leave your clothes on the floor? And her mom's like, my mother was an abusive alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And you learn so much about her character, again, just from one line, because the writing is so good. And you realize that she is doing her best in the way she knows how. And Lady Bird is also doing her best in the way she knows how. They just can't, like, communicate that with each other, but there's so much love there. And you can imagine that in the future, they'll come to an understanding with each other, as most parents do with their kids as they grow up. You know, but 18, 17, your senior year of college, especially as someone like Lady Bird who has dreams bigger than the place she grew up, which was, like, something similar to me. Like, I am from Cleveland. I really wanted to go to school away from Cleveland in Chicago, you know. And all I wanted to do my senior year was, like, get the fuck out of Dodge, you know. And just because I pictured so much more for my life. And who I knew I was supposed to be, that I think Lady Bird does something similar. And her mom wanting to accept that and support that because she loves her daughter, but also not being able to, you know.
I love what you said about the miscommunication and that how they just don't speak the same language. Like, the gap that exists there for both of these characters, I think, they fill that with, like, resentment. They both see their lives as, like, not wanting to identify with something. Like, Lady Bird wants to get out of Sacramento. Like, Dee Dee does not want to acknowledge his, like, race. He, like, calls himself half Chinese to these white people to fit in. And, like, that dissonance that exists between, like, the child and the mother in both of these movies, I think just is a doorway into how we all see the gaps in our lives. And when we do fill that with resentment, like, the way that we act out or rebel in those ways, I mean, I see it as embarrassing now, the ways that I was acting out as a teenager, especially around, like, the high school time. And one cool thing is that both of these movies are, like, 15 years ago, like, from their release date. You get all that time to really think about, like, what was I doing and why? And, like, they both paint really, really clean pictures of, like, wanting to get out of here, wanting to be different, just wanting something else. But it's also so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like there's, the way that these two movies are obviously comedy movies because there are all these little funny things. Mm-hmm. I feel like the way that they both talk about their moms is so heartbreaking, but it is exactly how a person of that age speaks about their mom. Because they don't really see them as anything, but yeah. Like, oh, you're my mom. Like, Didi literally is like, sorry, my mom is such a bitch. And then all of his, like, older friends are like, I don't know, your mom seems really nice and she's cool. And, like, even when she gets in there, like, the guys are like, dude, you rock. It's just so funny how big that distance is between, like, somebody who's so embarrassed and clearly ashamed of their background will just get ahead of everything and talk mad shit about it instead of, like, kind of see it for what it is. And I feel like in both movies, when people outside of the family enter their house, like, so much is revealed about, like, class or race differences in Dee Dee specifically. And then in Lady Bird, when, like, she lies about where she lives.
I know. And then Lucas Hedges is like, but you're literally from the wrong side of the tracks.
And then you watch Laurie Metcalf's face just sink into being like, oh, great, I literally work, like, 60 hours in the ICU, and you're calling the house that we bought a piece of shit. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it is, like...
And it's that thing, going back to that line before, where she's like, my mother's an abusive alcoholic, like, I can imagine that her character worked so hard to get this, like, house that... isn't shitty, but it's just, it's a small, you know, regular house. Mm-hmm. And the heartbreak of, oh my God, I worked my fucking life to get here. And my daughter is pretending that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know?
And it overlaps with, like, the immigrant experience of Dee Dee is because at that age, you can also only see, like, lack in your life. And you rarely take time to be like, oh, like, our family unit itself is really, really strong. I feel like between these two movies, too, you're watching parents who, like, climbed their way, really, really tried their best, and then what obviously gets lost to the next generation is everything that they don't have, especially with both of them commenting on, like, what's available for, like, middle-class Americans at these times, 2002 and 2008. Like, the ways that people
rough
are getting...
times.
Yeah, the way that people are getting economically hit so hard, but then, like, we're put into the rat race of, like, oh, I should be having everything that these people have... in both contexts. It's just, like, must be so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And then when you have this distance away from... I love that both of these movies had scenes about cars. Like, so much of what happens in these movies that's, like, iconic is, like, Lady Bird jumping out of the car. Like, this fart scene with Dee Dee and his mom. When Laurie Metcalf is driving through Sacramento. Like, you see all of these emotional things in cars, which comes back to this sort of, like... you're a vehicle for your life and, like, the distances that you'll travel and, like, the things that you have to go through to gain perspective. I also think about how, like, Dee Dee wants to be a skateboarder and, like, in control of his own journey and destiny in a physical sense, like, guiding him, like, where he wants to go. He also, like, runs away from home. He puts all these physical distances... I guess the emotional distances manifest as physical distances for these people. Like, Dee Dee runs away from home. Lady Bird goes to college in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that both of these movies touch on that, like, physical manifestation of emotional distance.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Because I do think in life, sometimes you need distance to make yourself realize... what home means to you,
mm-hmm.
and what your family means to you, and seeing other people's perspectives on your life, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, like when Dee Dee runs away from home, he comes back and he's like, you didn't even look for me, like, you must hate me. You assume all of these things, and Dee Dee's mom kind of succinctly puts what you said, like, I knew you would come back. Like, it's not worth, like, chasing after you, but, like, when you finally have the distance away from home, like, you'll understand. And then that's when they, like, really break down the walls between each other. They're like, yeah, I could have done all of this in life, but you are, like, what I want. And, like, you're my dream in this country. And, like,
with Lady Bird on the phone. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, I had to leave. I had to get these experiences. And though I was, like, lashing out at you at every turn to actually let me go, it's the letting go that lets the sort of, like, wound heal.
Yeah. And I also think kind of, like, the scene at the airport in Lady Bird when her mom, after not talking to her all summer, like, rushes back, like, circles back around and misses her mm-hmm. is, like, it would have been so easy to that be the emotional high point of the movie, of them, like, reuniting emotionally. But, I mean, again, amazing writing, just having it, having them miss each other still. And, like, when you're watching the movie, you're like, ugh, like, they've been going at each other this whole time, like, what if it's not, quote-unquote, fixed? Mm-hmm. But then when they do get this distance from themselves, and you see that the mom is ready to accept Lady Bird for who she is, and that she, obviously she loved her the whole time, but that, I think in that moment, she, the mom realizes, like, my daughter's about to leave me. Like, what the fuck was I doing? Mm-hmm. Not accepting her in this phase of her life. Like, fighting back against her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought that was...
Yeah, in, like, both movies, it's about, like, you witnessing each character failing, or, like, each ways that they're not enough for each other, and how that gets internalized. And then something else I was thinking about was, like, two big climaxes for both of them is when they both, like, throw up. Like, Dee Dee throws up at the party, and Lady Bird throws up after, like, finally getting her experience. And it's, like, once you finally get the thing that you think you want, you kind of get sick over it. And then, like, that kind of, like, pushes both characters into this final act of, like, realization. Mm-hmm. Like, they both come to after throwing up in both movies, which is obviously a quintessential coming-of-age experience, of course, is having too much wine at a party where a guy is so boring that you're like, I'm just going to drink until I'm done.
I'm going to call my mom. Yeah. When a guy is so boring that he makes you need to call your mom.
Like, that is how you know it's abysmal. And it's also a rite of passage. If you have not met somebody so boring that you're like, I should just kiss you so you will shut the fuck up. That's so true.
That's being 18 in a dorm party drinking wine.
Yeah, out of a solo cup. Oh my gosh, it actually feels vintage. I know. Like, thinking about talking to someone insufferable while having boxed wine. Oh my gosh.
Warm.
Oh my gosh, not an ice cube in sight. Yeah, it's been sitting out for days.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
That's the real rite of passage in that movie. Yeah.
The other big thing that these two characters have in common is the physical changing of their names. And, like, Lady Bird ends the movie by coming back to her real name, and then Dee Dee also wrestles with his name throughout the movie. Around white people, he goes by Chris. At school, he even goes by Chris. But then with his friends, they call him Dee Dee. With his family, they call him Dee Dee. And that's just such a good sort of, like, strong writing, in that you can really just pare down the idea of, like, this character struggles with their identity, and you can watch them change it. It, like, gets you right into the story really, really quickly, and that's why I think that the writing in these two movies shares a lot of the strengths of each other.
I think the big thesis of both of these is that attention is love. Mm-hmm. And it might not be the kind of attention that in the moment they want, mm-hmm. or don't want, but it manifests. It is the moms loving them the way they know how.
Yeah. Yes, because there will be so many miscommunications for this, like, generational gap. But Lady Bird literally says, don't you think they're the same, love and attention? And then you kind of see that, too, through Dee Dee's love of video recording as art. And, like, all of the videos of him recording the skateboarders suck ass. They're, like, disgusting. They're bad. Even the skateboarders are like, damn, these suck. Sorry, kid. But then when you see him, like, recording his grandmother, it's, like, this, like, crisp picture that really captures the moment.
Oh, my God. That scene makes me cry. It's so gorgeous. I actually have,
like, chills thinking about just, like, her dancing in the yard. And, like,
that's... I think you look beautiful.
That's what attention and love, like, means, is that, like, you have given something and devoted your time for it to be good. And though, like you said, like,
maybe they'll never, like, line up. Like, the ways that you want to receive love and the way that you do receive them might not always line up, but that, like, aspect of attention and just, like, I might not know what to say to you, but I've been here the whole time.
Yes. And then the kids not seeing that, and then at the end having a moment of clarity, again, in the way they know how, because mm-hmm. they're only 14 and 18, they're not going to truly get it yeah. at this in this film that we're watching. But you can imagine in the future, mm-hmm. they will.
You can see the budding of the, like, this is a coming-of-age movie. Obviously, it's supposed to end on, like, this hopeful note, but it really is just, like, you'll see that they'll fail many more times in their lives. Like, they'll go to more of those shitty parties, or, like, Dee Dee will have to go through all of high school and realize yeah. that you are the most disgusting version of yourself for 4 years. But, like, you're starting to see them gain more clarity in the world and have more empathy as they move through mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm. And Dee Dee, when the mom, again, kind of similar to the video stuff, but, like, when she paints her family, mm-hmm. like, that is... She just minute detail attention mm-hmm. to how she sees her family, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And also the cool thing in Dee Dee is that you watch him start reckoning with, like, the digital world, and, like, he gives all of his attention to, like, my MySpace page. Like, he wants to know every detail about his crush. And then when he finally gets that, it, like, isn't really worth it to him. And the ways that he was placing his attention and the places that the mom is placing her attention are just so different. And, like, that's a normal-ass thing to do as a kid. Like, yeah, you're chasing after, like, crushes and stuff, but then you can't even, like, appreciate your mom's beautiful painting because you think that you look like shit in it. Like, girl, me too. Sometimes I see a picture of me from the side, and I'm like, how dare you?
How dare you?
But, like, if my mom were to sit down and have painted a portrait where I just have, like, a double chin, I'm like, man, how self-involved and miserable do you have to be like, man, my mom is a talented painter.
Yeah, but I have a double chin.
Yeah, so this painting sucks. Yeah.
But it is, like, when you're 14, even now, yeah. you know, I'm yeah. like, why do I look ugly?
Yeah, I'm like, we should, I mean, like, to be fair, if my mom painted a picture of me, I'm like, you could have made me look anyway, but you did do it the exact way that I am, which is, like, a kind of a mother's job. Like, the same thing when, like, Lady Bird's mom talks about her physical appearance. Obviously, every mm-hmm. single kid fucking hates that. Even when my mom is like, ooh, you should be washing your face a little mm-hmm. bit more. It's, like, a slap in the face to me, but it's also, like, oh, she wants me to be better or, like, look better. Like, well, she.
That's the scene when they're trying on prom dresses mm-hmm. and Lady Bird is like, what is the exact quote?
It's, do you like me? No, of course I love you. No, but do you like me?
And then she's like, I just want you to be the best version of yourself.
What if this is the best version? I start crying right
now.
I start
crying. Yeah. I start crying.
I mean, they really captured that relationship of, like, I think that this is the best it's gonna get. Because at that age, you're like, right now is it. Like, however I look right now, and thank God I don't look like that anymore. Like, it does. It
hashtag it gets better. Yeah.
But, like, it, like, legit is all you know that's true is what exists right now. You don't see yourself getting any better. And all a mom can really do is, like, hey, I love you. Like,
I love you now. I'll love you in the future. Yeah. I just want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. And you can see her. She's trying so hard to provide her the tools to be happy, mm-hmm. even if she doesn't quite know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not translating, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, like, you also see that they share this... They share so much DNA when they go into, like, the open houses together. You're like, they both see this empty vessel as something, but they both see different things in it. Like, you can watch them go through that house and they share such radically different experiences about just, like, what can this house be? Like, what if we lived in this house? Like, all of those things. I think there's no words in that scene, but you just feel like these two characters looking at an empty vessel. Like, the main characters in both of these movies kind of are, like, empty vessels. Like, they're becoming new people. Like, mm-hmm. they're in these transition periods of their life. Like,
I think in that scene in particular, like, the house scene, they are both looking at it the same but different because Lady Bird being so young and hopeful, she's like, oh my God, I could have this one day. Mm-hmm. Like, how amazing would it be? Like, I have the rest of my life to do this. And the mom is looking at it as, this is so beautiful, I will never have this.
Yeah, and like, also the mom watching Lady Bird, like, wow, I want her to have all of this.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That scene, yeah, with no words, conveys just so much about, like, hope and how these two characters see hope. And, like, clearly the mom's hope is in her and how she is able to see, like, this could be my house. Like, I want this to be my house. And the mom is so jaded about life and, like, just trying to make it through day to day that it's, like, whoa. You, like, how Dee Dee's mom was, like, you are my dream. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
You having this by proxy to me makes me proud and happy.
Because I think in Dee Dee specifically, like, the mom and the grandma came to the country to give Dee Dee and, is it Vivian?
Mm-hmm.
A better life. And, like, his dad is still working, mm-hmm. or, you know, to give them the money to be able to do that. And the mom, I think, is trying to accept that him being happy is why she gave him this life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you don't want, like, the life that they want you to have, necessarily. Like, because you think, like, oh, you don't really know what it's like to be, like, in America. Or you don't know what it's like to be my age right now. Like, every kid at this age has the protagonist syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see all of the attention that they give to dream that life for them. And, like, they've already worked so hard to do it.
I mean, the mom in Dee Dee, like, she is putting up with a lot of stuff from his grandma, mm-hmm. you know, and not, and feeling so lonely
mm-hmm.
in California, like, away from, you know, everything she's known,
mm-hmm.
but doing it for him.
Mm-hmm. You see both these moms just, like, every sacrifice that they make, and then still putting on, like, a smile for it all. It, like, makes you think of every time that you didn't say thank you to your mom, or, like, that, like, you didn't know what she was going through at, like, a time like this where you're so self-involved.
So self-involved.
Yeah, you're, like, all I really care about is getting the fuck out of here. And then she's, like, I am counting down those minutes for the opposite reason.
Totally.
Like, I can't wait to just get out of here. I can't wait until I find the friends that make me feel like myself. I'll change every aspect of myself just to get this thing. And they are watching you just fumble around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, that must hurt them in a very specific way, too.
Yeah, because they're like, my shit kid is, mm-hmm. you know, being annoying and mean to me.
Yeah.
But I can't do anything about it, you know?
Yeah. Every time I was sick, my mom would, like, hold me and just be like, if I could be sick right now instead of you, I would.
My mom says that to me, too.
I'm like, that, and that's, like, a mother-ass thing. Like, that must just, when you're watching your child in pain, all you can do is, like, I wish I could, like, literally take a straw and suck this out of your head.
I know.
Like,
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Lady Bird and Dee Dee are movies about teenagers going through these transitional periods where you begin fashioning your identity, whether that be rejecting it, projecting it, adding, deleting, or straight-up manufacturing facets of yourself, and then wrestling with where you come from.
And to see our experiences so specifically and accurately mirrored made both of us reflect deeper on those periods of our lives, analyzing, agonizing, and LMAOing over the shithead versions of ourselves allowed us to gain empathy for our mothers. Everyone should leave a movie and think, damn, I should call her.
Yeah, I should call her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm about to crash into the walls of God, now take it with me. I'm hot, toxic, so destructive, and it's all for the best. I'm about to crash into the walls of God, now take it with me. I'm hot, toxic, so destructive, and it's all for the best. And it's the titular role! Oh my God, Elizabeth.
What?
You know what that means. It's time for Heaven or Hell. All right, this is a lightning, what?
a lightning round.
This is a lightning round. We're going to pull things from Dee Dee and Lady Bird and let you know if they're going to heaven.
Or hell.
All right, Elizabeth, calling your mom.
Heaven.
Okay.
Dating a gay guy.
I mean, obviously, for both straight women and gay guys alike, that is absolute heaven.
Timothy Chalamet reading that book.
No, that's fucking hell. Okay, Elizabeth, puppets.
Hell.
Bartering.
Heaven. swallowing a roach.
I mean,
of weed.
Of weed. I mean, that's hell. I literally watched a girl on St. Patrick's Day swallow an on fire roach, and I was like, this, you couldn't be me. Elizabeth, Dave Matthews Band.
Heaven! What about participating in the economy?
That is hell. I think that we are all getting burner phones after this.
All the music that Jerwin listened to.
Obviously, it is all hell. You can find it on my Spotify. It is absolute Never Shout Never, and then all of his other variants. What about White Guys That Skate?
I think that's purgatory.
Low key. But if there's any white guys who skate that wanna change my mind, my number is...
224.
Stop. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode.
So you can make it to heaven by following us on Instagram at RaptureThePod. And don't forget to rate, review on whatever you're listening to us on.
Bye.
That part's fun.
I know. I like that. Rapture.